Joel, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Joe, I appreciate you coming on. You know, you've been doing this for quite some time. I guess, first of all, I want to talk about, you know, last year, the change when you, I guess you came over with Jim Neal, the move to go from Detroit to Dallas. What was enticing for you to go to Dallas?
Well, I think I've worked real close with Jim for, you know, basically the last 20 years pretty well. And I sort of got lucky contract-wise, I guess, and was able to make that decision. Not very often does a scout get to do that. So it was I got very lucky, and you know, no regrets out of Detroit at all. It was an awesome place to work, but I just felt moving with Jim was the best move.
Joe, being with the Red Wings, the scout since 95, and then the director of scouting since 2003, everybody's talked about the Red Wings, and especially the success coming with European players, especially a lot of success late in the draft, and, you know, an organization where they're patient with young players. You came into Dallas, and right away, Nikushkin was a guy they drafted last year. Is your philosophy going to be the same now in Dallas? Do you feel it's similar to Detroit? Will you draft guys with that you don't feel the need to rush them in, or is it a little different philosophy?
I think it's the same philosophy, but it's just a lot harder to do on different clubs. We were a little bit blessed in Detroit, I guess, with having a very deep older team where we were allowed to put the kids in the minors for, you know, for the most part, their full 4 years and just bring them along slowly. But sometimes you know, if your talent base just isn't quite there, you have to rush kids along sometimes. But I would assume that our situation in Dallas, we're hopefully going to get it to a point, and it's pretty close now, where we can just develop some kids down on the farm. And this is a great example this year. There's a number of young kids down in Texas right now. They're playing in the Calder Cup Finals. And so the development process, I think, is going to be pretty much the same.
Looking at your organization right now, and you look at your organizational depth, Joe, heading into the draft, I know that best player available usually is what people talk about early on. Do you believe in best player available all the time, or do you balance it later on in the rounds when it comes to organizational need?
We're sort of based on the fact we want to take the best player available all the way through. Now, having said that, if you have two kids, and usually when you get into the middle rounds, you got a lot of guys that are pretty much the same, and you have them basically back to back in your draft. If you're in need of a defenseman and you happen to have two or three forwards plus this D-man sitting there, and you need defenseman, you probably go and take the defenseman, because it's not a big gap in these players once you get past this year, even past the top 10 or so. So it's a thing where maybe it's a year where you can do more of an organizational need.
When you talk about, you know, that gap from every year, and after the top 10 this year, you know, there's so many intangibles that go into it, Joe. Can you talk about the importance of the relationship between drafting and scouting and then developing? Because if those two don't mesh, I think a lot of teams end up missing out on players.
Yeah, your development process is huge for sure. And it's one thing about the draft is you have to go out and give yourself the best percentage of odds that you're going to get a decent player. And by doing that, you're going to an awful lot of hockey games. You just want to minimize your risk and try to know the players as well as you can. And then you know what you're up against in the draft. So it's a thing. Then once you do draft them, then it sort of shifts into the developmental mode, and it's working with these kids on a nonstop basis. Have it be their conditioning, their food, what they're eating, their diet, etc. So it's a long-term process.
When you talk, you know, in your organization with Jim Neal, what do you feel is the best way to develop players? Is it always err on the side of, you know, holding them back rather than maybe trying to see how they will hold their own at the NHL or sometimes even AHL level?
Well, I think a lot of that shows up in training camp. I don't think it's a matter of holding kids back. It'll be a thing if they look like they're ready you know, well beyond their years type thing. You're going to give them an opportunity. You're going to give them a look. you know, no question about that. You don't want to have somebody, say, sitting there that's ready for prime time, and you're holding them back for 3 or 4 years. So it's a thing. It's something, I think, once you get to know the player and you have his mind figured out and you can sort of figure out what you want to do with him.
As a longtime scout, Joe, do you have tendencies to certain types of players you like better than others?
Yeah, I guess our philosophy when I was in Detroit for all those years, I think we were going for skill all the way. And I think same thing in Dallas here. We'll be doing the same thing. We've always sort of shied away, I guess, from the great big guy that might be he's a heavyweight or whatever. We never really got into that in Detroit. It just wasn't our philosophy. So it's a thing, I guess, you know, what we're looking at is skill.
We are joined by the director of amateur scouting for the Dallas Stars, Joe McDonald, has been scouting in the NHL since 1995 with Detroit, moved over to Dallas last year as the director of amateur scouting. And you know what, Joe, it's interesting you say that. The game has definitely changed as far as having the big guys who are heavyweights, but we're seeing a lot more teams with big skilled guys. Like you look at the LA Kings and the Boston Bruins and down the list. Is size, like the skill guys with size, has that changed at all maybe when you look at rather than just skill and say, okay, you know what, 5'10", 5'11", is there a difference maybe gravitating toward bigger skill?
I think for sure, and it's I think that's one part of the game and aspect of the game that has changed. It's, I think there's a lot more players now coming up and developing that are great big guys that have much better skill than they had years ago. And they can play any way you want to play the game. So there's more of them out there now. And you can, you know, sometimes you're waiting on something with them, whether it be their skating or their puck skill, or they're just big, but they haven't really fully developed their bodies yet with through their workouts and things. So there's more of them out there. And, you know, if you could have 20 guys that were 6'3" with the skill, you wouldn't lose too many games. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of them out there, but there is an awful lot more.
Talk about growing into their body. And, you know, a lot of the young guys maybe that are smaller who are 5'10 or 11 who won't grow any higher, maybe they're more comfortable in their skill set to their body. Is it harder to project a kid who's maybe 6'3" but hasn't filled out yet, who's 185, to see, well, what could they do when they're 6'3 and 210 pounds? How much is it harder to project those bigger guys because they have more room to grow over the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I guess probably it is. It's thing, you know, and you're, when we're looking at these kids, we're looking at their family background, their mom, their dad. You know, are they big? Do they have the big shoulders? Different things. So, and then if the kid has to be willing to put the work into it as well, and that's part of your development program. And the other thing, you talk about smaller players, like even 5'9", 5'10". But if they play like they're a 6'2" hockey player, there's tons of room for those guys. And it's the compete level is something that we're looking at awful closely as well.
Joe, is there such a thing as a pure defensive defenseman anymore in the game of hockey?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Now, you know, they still have to be able to make that good first pass. So, and that's part of playing good defense as well. So it's I think there's lots of them out there. I think what teams are looking for, you'd almost like to get a more offensive-minded guy, a guy that can run your power play, as well as obviously make that good first pass out of your zone and take care of business in your own end. So it's a thing. If you can find one with some skill, that's far more, I think, worthy for your team going down the stretch run when you need a goal on the power play or whatever. If you don't have any of those guys, you're in trouble.
Director of Amateur Scouting for the Dallas Stars, Joe McDonald, joins us. Joe, with the advancement in all the teaching and coaching at the young level, and you said for years with your Detroit, you guys focused on skill. Have you noticed at all, has the skill been hampered by so much coaching of system play that some guys are lacking in creativity now because they're almost more robotic?
You're talking about coming through the ranks, yeah, and midget and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would, I would think so, probably. Now, in the end, you know, your highly skilled guys that are just God blessed with it, they're always going to shine through, I think. But it's probably taking away a little bit from somebody that's trying to develop, and they're being told to play a different way type thing, where you're just chip and chase type thing. So, but again, if a boy has the passion for the game and he wants to develop and wants to work on his skill, I don't think anybody can hold him back from that.
Joe, when do you start seriously scouting kids? Like, you know, the kids that are available to be drafted here in 2 weeks, were you looking at them when they were 16, or do you wait until they're actually, you know, this year's draft is over, and then you start focusing on the kids who are a year later? Because so much can change sometimes between 16 and 17.
Yeah, well, I think we always try. We'll put a report in on a 16-year-old. You know, we're looking at all the underage kids as you're going out and watching the kids that are eligible for that particular year's draft. So, but we'll get a report in on them. So we're seeing them at 16, but you only really have one eye on those players, where you're trying to really focus in on the players that are eligible.
I want to get your thoughts, Joe, quickly on a few guys that are ranked around, you know, the 14th spot where you guys currently sit. You know, there's a lot of different ones. You know, let's start with some big skilled forwards we talked about. Brennan Perlini, Nick Ritchie. What's your analysis of those two?
Yeah, I like them both. this draft this year is unbelievable. It's anywhere from 10 to 35 or 40. Like, you could just flip it upside down and guys could be going at 11 that you have at 40, and vice versa. It's just I think it's a very good draft for those maybe first, say, 50 players where it's really all jumbled up. But it's just really, really, every player has something that you really love about them, and then there's other things that they need a little bit of work on, but they all have some great attributes.
Defense, there's not a lot of defense ranked in the first round, Joe, but historically, a lot of the NHL's best defensemen don't always get taken early, where usually, and there are exceptions, Jamie Benn being one of them, but most of the best players usually are taken early in the first round. Do you find organizations are more patient with defensemen if they're taken in the second or third round, rather than some guys taken in the first who maybe get rushed along before they're really ready to understand that position?
Yeah, well, I guess every organization is a little bit different. I guess it's playing defense, I think, in the National Hockey League is a very difficult position, I think, to learn and be able to excel at, you know, early on in your career. It's something that you have to learn the position. As you know, all the coaches want their defensemen to be able to play a sound defensive game, and that's probably the hardest thing to learn, especially if they're coming out a junior where they were, you know, running their power play for their team, etc. So it's a thing. I guess you can rush them on, but maybe the kids that are going in the second and third maybe have that little added motivation or whatever that they want to play like a first rounder type thing. So, but it's definitely a hard position to learn and to adjust to. And like you say, there's not many of them in this year's draft.
Is this year a draft where, you know, the CHL is maybe more dominant? We've had some good drafts from Swedes and Finns lately, but is this the CHL year?
I think it looks to be that way. I think it's, you know, again, there's some Swedes. There's always some Swedes. I guess Russia, you know, hasn't had a ton of guys in the last little while, so there's not a ton. But there's definitely some guys from over there that are gonna make their mark, and it's again, it's just a thing where your team just has to do their homework.
And one last one for you: as the director of amateur scouting, how much player say, you know, do you talk? You know, do they still ask you about guys, you know, like Jason Dixon, for instance, who obviously you were looking at last year when he was drafted a year before? Do they still get your reports, and do you go scout some of those guys during the season to see how their progression is, or do you solely, once they're drafted in the NHL, you don't focus on them that much?
No, well, we have, you know, once you do draft a boy, again, it's the development part of it. You know, we'll go meet with them. Like, take Jason Dickinson, for example. We'll go down and talk to him after, after a game when we see him. Now, we won't bug him every single night, but, you know, we go down, say, maybe once a month or something, just talk to him or maybe take him out for dinner or lunch. So you're always keeping tabs on him. It's a big investment. You have decisions in a short period of time whether you're going to sign them or not sign them. So it's you want to be hands-on. And, you know, Jim loves all of us staying in touch with all our players.
Joe, I really appreciate the conversation. Best of luck here in the next few weeks leading up to the draft.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.